John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Do not, whatever you do, watch Caden McDonald's nephew talking to him. I'm not crying. You're crying. I'm not. Holy crap. He is.
His nephew talking to him.
Yeah.
Like a little kid?
He's a little kid talking about how proud he is of him. And
no, dude, get it, Dale.
No.
I want to see it bright.
He told me not to because he doesn't want people crying.
That's his trick.
No.
He tells you not to because he wants you to.
Don't do it because it'll. It's teary in here.
That's okay. If you didn't see it, Caden McDonald. So the Texans moved up on day two. Super happy with this. Super happy.
Why did he last that long?
Because he's an interior rusher. He's an interior defender who doesn't rush the passer. And those guys typically don't have first-round value. If you're just a run defender because, teams throw so much, defenses are in sub-packages so much, the rush packages that nose guards or nose tackles who don't rush, they don't play as many snaps. So there's less value for them.
Okay, so
that's the only reason why. He's considered – I talked to a GM yesterday. It was not Ballard. It was a different GM from an AFC team who told me, we were talking about defensive tackles, and he said, he's clearly the best run defender in the whole draft, the defensive tackle. Like he said, it's not even close. He's the best run defender, which I definitely thought. Caleb Banks has a chance to be, really good. Caleb Banks has the highest upside, but Caden McDonald has the best. Like, he's the best run defender. This is the Texans knew. So the Giants were going to take Caden McDonald. I got that intel. I didn't share anything with the Texans, by the way, but Caden McDonald was going to go to the Giants. They wanted him. And that's pretty easy to figure out. They lost Dexter Lawrence. Like, this is a pretty easy one. And this is what happens. When you have a huge need that everyone recognizes you have that need, it's easy for teams to jump you, And the Texans just jumped the Giants. They are like, Giants will probably take him. Let's get up there. Let's move up and get him. And that's what they did. They moved up and got their guy, Caden McDonald. I was happy to see he was on the board. Like, he was their top guy. So, Caden McDonald was the pick, and he had tears, streaming down his face.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really cool moment to see that. And I think, he's got heavy hands. He's tough to move off the point of attack. He's got something that I don't typically see with the Tech. I'm going to give Nick a big compliment here in a second. I love the whole draft. We'll get through it. But Nick clearly has an idea of what he wants to do this year, and he's followed through with it in the offseason, and I've been impressed on the offensive side. Caden McDonald is something they haven't had, which is just a run plugger, a drain clogger. They haven't had that. It's more about guys who can kind of get up the field and cause disruption. And I think one of the things that's really been missing is just a big hog in the middle that can make it tough for guys to block.
And that's surprising, too, because he came from New England, which had the biggest.
Vince Wilfork, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big part of their success. Now they've got it.
But does D'Amico want that typically? Like, D'Amico covets leaner body type guys and, disruptive guys. This is a departure from what D'Amico it feels like a departure from what D'Amico typically has.
Yeah. All right. So DJ Bieniemy says Kalen Rutledge plays week one. Kalen Rutledge has said, I can play center.
Yeah.
Is he the starting center week one?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so because, Evan Brown is really more of a backup. And the Texans needed to upgrade from Jake Andrews. He fights and puts up a good fight, but he and Jared Patterson aren't good enough. And they needed to get better. And Kalen Rutledge took some snaps at center. I wrote him up as a guard. He did take some snaps at center at the Senior Bowl. And so my guess is that's where they're going to start him. Now, if there's problems, issues with snaps, then we could have an issue. We could have a problem, but I see them playing him, and he may be a full-time center for his whole career. That may be the position he plays for his whole career. I saw conversations online. Well, maybe he starts there and then moves over to guard. And Fabici Huawei, their fourth round pick. Maybe he becomes a starting center, and Rutledge becomes a guard.
Yeah, but
I just know they got physical.
But they've got. I mean, there's no way Ingram or Teller don't start. So.
No. That's what I'm saying is they paid Evan Ingram and they paid not Evan Ingram. They paid Ed Ingram and they paid Wyatt Teller to be starters. So yeah, Rutledge is probably going to be the center. I'd say DJ Bieniemy is going to be right on that one. And that is, and listen, Braden Smith at right tackle, they have just substantially upgraded their run blocking. Substantially upgraded run blocking. Then you add a hammerhead like David Montgomery. He's not really a hammerhead, but he is a guy who runs with some physicality. And you now have I'm now sensing a philosophy. It's just been just an amalgamation of just players. Just throw a bunch of players on offense. And there's been no real clear, I don't feel like there's been a real clear philosophy. There's not been a clear mixing of parts that make, adding parts that make a lot of sense that play directly into one philosophy. Except this year, for the first time, I'm like, wow, Braden Smith, Kalen Rutledge, they redo Ed, they re-sign Ed, they go out and get Wyatt Teller, and David Montgomery. This is Nick Caserio basically said, we're going to run the ball. We're not gonna have C.J. Stroud winning games for us. And when he needs to, we're going to have a complimentary running game that is going to help. So they basically said, we're taking some off C.J.'s plate, and we're going to become a dominant run team.
I could see now them being like this is the Lions offense now. You got David Montgomery, Woody Marks, is Jahmyr Gibbs. You said CJ is Jared Goff like. Yeah.
Well, Woody Marks is Jahmyr Gibbs.
That's a lot. That's right. That's said it.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
You got Thunder and Lightning. What?
Wow.
So Nick Cayley is Ben Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Nico?
No.
No. It's Jalen Noel, probably.
Who's J-Mo?
That would be Nico.
I think they're
Jaden Higgins.
They're better than those two. Better. Yep. Watch. This is the Lions offense. What? That's right.
Who's Sam LaPorta?
Oh, Marlon Klein?
Dalton
whose
Schultz.
Girlfriend is in, who was in Detroit with his girlfriend?
What are you making these noises for, Dell?
You're saying a lot of things. Lots of things. Who's Penei Sewell?
Ariante Ursa.
Are you kidding me?
Aye.
He wishes he was Ariante.
I don't know that he does.
Kind of does.
Man, the Lions.
Yep.
Wow.
It's the Lions offense now.
Maybe the Dan Orlovsky-led Lions offense.
Wow. Okay.
I hope so. Because, I like the team to score touchdowns and be explosive, too.
So, before we go to break, you like the first two picks. Like, don't love them, don't like them, what?
No, I like them a lot. And there's a lot of Texans fans who are upset and salty because my grade on them was a 6.29. But a 6.29 is basically a 6-star. That means, above average starter. 6.2s are starters in the league. They get caught up in the semantics of some of the wording that's been on the grade sheet, the grade chart. A 62 player is a starter. Either can become an early starter, may eventually become a starter. I had him, and frankly, I should have raised his grade maybe a hair after the Senior Bowl, but my round projection on him, most drafts he would have been like an early third. In this draft, he clearly needed to be in at least the middle second, but what I found out was that offensive line coaches loved him so much that he was going to go. He was going to go to the Raiders, so the Raiders are going to take him in the second round. And I saw people getting fussy about the. Apparently, they were mad that the Texans didn't draft McDonald there and Kalen Rutledge back in the second because, and in theory, yes, in theory that would have been true. You could have maybe done that and not given up a draft pick. But the reality was the Raiders had targeted Kalen Rutledge, so you were going to have to move ahead of them in the second round. So it was still going to take just like you did with it was the same thing. You moved up to get ahead of the Giants for McDonald, you would have had to move up ahead of the Raiders to get your hands on Rutledge. It's just what it is. That was what it was going to take. But I like both of those guys. Now,
Wait. We'll do the rest on the other side.
Okay, we'll do the rest of it.
Yeah, we'll do the rest of it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. We got that. So we just started. We got Klein. We got Woo-woo. We got all kinds of guys to talk about here. Don't go anywhere. Right now, though, we got HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net. Our friends, not really neighbors, but they're our friends, and they're our partners. They're our business partners here, and they've been our business partners here for a while. And they, you know what? They don't succeed if we don't succeed. Their goal is to make sure that every business that they are with is as profitable as possible, is as economically sound as possible, gets their payroll to their people the best possible way, the most inexpensive way, gets their HR to their people. HR is a big expense, and it really, I mean, you know what? You can do it a lot better than if you've got an entire HR department. You've got HR&P that can do that for you. There are HR issues, obviously, but how are you doing it, okay? HR&P will do it more economically than you are. The tax situation. You don't need a tax accountant. You've got HR&P that's taking care of all of that stuff for you and for your employees. All the W-2s, everything they take care of. HR&P makes us better. HR&P will make your business better. What are you doing? What are you doing with your benefits packages? Let HR&P help you decide what's the best for your people, because it's what they do every day. You don't. So you're looking for the best way to be better? HRP.net. You tell them you heard it right here. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. You got some questions for Lance. We went through the first two picks. Liked them. Liked them a lot. Okay. To both guys start to in week one, right? Mm-hmm. Now you get round two, number 59, Marlon Klein, the tight end out of Michigan. You thought they would go with the tight end out of Ohio State. They went with the tight end out of Michigan. Why? Yeah.
Now, I did know they liked Marlon Klein. My mock draft, I had Will Kaczmarek. I put him in because I think I may have already. I can't remember if I put Marlon Klein in there or not. But I was told they liked Marlon Klein, and so because I had him in a fourth, and I was told the Texans had a good chance of maybe taking him in a third. So I changed his round projection. You'll see it on the NFL draft tracker. My round projection was third, fourth. And typically that's where a guy like Klein would go, third or fourth. But this is a weird year because Nate Borkature from Texas A&M was drafted as the third tight end off the board in the second round, which kind of blew everyone away. And the NFL flipped out because everyone's trying to copy. The Rams ran 13 personnel, three tight ends, 30% of the time last year, which is insane. I didn't realize they ran it that much. And they had success with it. And so this being a copycat league, everyone, and this is a deep tight end draft, so everyone had the same idea. We're going to draft a bunch of tight ends. They're like, we're going to go get our tight end. Once Nate Berkshire came off the board, and this was after Eli Storrs from Vanderbilt came off the board, and shout out to Nate. I mean, you know, I love this tape. I was a big fan of his. But in most drafts, he goes in the fourth round. But you have to remember, so a certain NFC team had a grand total of 34 grades of players to make it in the first and second round. They put first or second round grades on only 34 players, and there's 64 total players in the first two rounds. This shows you how weak this draft was. And so two things happened. This started a tight end run where everyone flipped out and said, we're drafting guys around early. That's basically what happened, was they drafted the guys early because, like, Klein in the second, for me, was kind of crazy, but so was Nate Berkshire in the second, and so was pretty much all the, you know, other than Stowers. I thought a lot of these seconds were early. I thought some of the thirds were around early. So that's just the nature of it. Everyone wanted to do the same thing, which was, you know, get tight ends so they can run more 12 and 13 personnel, and 12 means one running back, two tight ends, 13, one running back, and three tight ends. And he's a German-born player, Marlon Klein. He came over from Germany to came over to Georgia in high school so he could become a football player. He, you know, was playing some football over in Germany, came and stayed with the family in outside of Atlanta. So he's not really a finished product. He's kind of late. You know, he's a little bit late to the sport. I mean, he did play in high school, but they liked him enough that they took him at Michigan, and he was apparently he looked really good in some of the camps that Michigan attended, so they brought him in. And he's got a little grit at the point of attack as a blocker. He moves as a wide receiver pretty well. Ran a 4.61, which is pretty fast for his size. At 6'6", 244, long strider. What I said was more muscle mass is needed, but Klein has a chance to become a day three pick as a backup. Why? The Texans clearly see him as a speed-building combination tight end, where and these combination tight ends are really in vogue right now because you can get more, you know, a true wide tight end, which is an inline blocker. They don't have much value catching football. If you can get down the field and uncover, if you've got some speed and you can block, these are the really valuable players, and that's why Klein, why they coveted Klein. And did they draft him early? I think they did, but I think all the tight ends got drafted early.
So wait, now you got Schultz, Stover, got Moreau, you got Klein.
Yeah.
Who's the
you're gonna carry four? You're
probably
gonna
four?
You're probably gonna carry four.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna run, if your plan is to run 12 or even 13 personnel, the new thing is gonna be to carry only, you know, like three running backs and maybe to carry four tight ends now. I think you're going to start seeing teams carry more tight ends than they used to.
If they're going
to
run the ball more, Moreau and Marlon Klein are nice additions.
Yeah. And that's what, like, we already know Dalton Schultz doesn't block. That's what Moreau was brought in for. Moreau was brought in to be a blocker. But I'm looking at they've got Cade Stover, Luke Lachey from
what happens with him?
Iowa. Lane Pryor, don't even know him. Brevin Jordan. Brevin's going to have a hard time making a team. I mean, you're right. Dalton Schultz, Foster Moreau, Marlon Klein, and probably Cade Stover make the team. There's probably going to be four of them. If you're Cade Stover, you're not long for this team. You're not getting a second contract, more than likely. I tend to doubt it. I don't know. Maybe Foster Moreau goes away, and maybe Cade Stover does stick around and gets a second contract. Who knows?
All right. Round four, 106 overall, Fabici and Wawu.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of his, but the NFL, but this isn't just the Texans. I talked to more teams that like him way better than I did. I don't see it.
I saw a piece on him, though, about what a great teammate he is.
Great teammate. Yeah. Really good football character. Can play center, can play center. I'm trying to remember if he's played some tackle. He's played guard. His best position, I think, is going to be at center eventually. I view him more as, for me, I think he's going to end up being more of a backup depth guy who might get into some games sometime. The Texans probably think a little bit higher of him. He's inconsistent with move blocks, so he needs to play around the line of scrimmage. When you put him on the move, he's not going to be as effective. Texans, I think, are going to run a lot more zone gap scheme anyway, which is more downhill, you know, playing right at you. He plays with really good effort, plays tough. He's got long arms. He's got big hands. So he's got that size and the traits that you kind of like. He's got position flexibility. So for a day three pick, somebody who plays center and guard, who has size and length, he fits a certain physical profile. You know, it's fine. It's just my personal opinion was I just think he's just kind of an average backup personally. But the Texans and I frequently don't agree on offensive line, to be honest with you, or some of these mid-round picks.
Well, the Texans have been great at it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we just don't see the same on some of these. Wade Woodhouse, I think, is a really good fourth-round pick, and here's why. My grade on him is kind of average backup, but I think he is an average backup will. Like he's a step below to Otoo for me personally, the way I graded it. But he's a plus special teams player. So once you hit the fourth round, some of these linebackers, if they are full time special teams guys, and I had him projected in the fourth, fifth round, he's smart. He doesn't really buy into misdirection, so he keys on the play really well. Needs to get a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, and he has enough man matchup, you know, ability where he can stay on the field. But he's really going to shine on special teams, so I think he'll be a core special teamer starting right off the bat his rookie year. The next pick was Kamari Ramsey. Really like this pick. The problem with Kamari Ramsey is he has missed multiple games. And I had a fourth round grade, but I had that's a good. I gave him a good backup to potential eventual starter grade on him. And the issue with him is that he has missed, you know, he's missed multiple games during his in consecutive seasons. So now you have to worry about durability. Is that going to be a concern? But he can play multiple safety positions, meaning, you know, free safety, meaning playing back, playing down near the line of scrimmage, or even playing where the Texans play Jalen Petrie, which is the safety spot. We call it a nickel, but that's third safety. So he can play multiple safety spots, which means he can back up multiple safeties. Very competitive at the catch point. He is pretty good at tightening the windows inside the routes. He can run the alley and adjust himself to tackle runners on the move. I think where his change of direction is kind of average. He gets beat by good route runners when he's got a matchup man-to-man. So and he's inconsistent finding run fits near the line of scrimmage. But, you know, this is the third year in a row they've gone and gotten a USC defensive back. Mm-hmm. Third year in a row. Caden Bullock, they struck gold. Jalen Smith, we don't know. He missed all last year. And now you've got Kamari Ramsey. So Texans clearly like what the DB coach does over there. Did not Lewis Bond, I don't think, makes the team. He was drafted. He's just not quick enough to separate and get open, I don't think. Kind of a hard hat possession receiver. He played for Bill O'Brien over there at Boston College. He's got really good ball skills. He's a skilled player. He's a really skilled player. So that's not really a problem. He knows how to play football. He's just not shifty. He has a hard time beating press. He has a hard time getting open. I think his athletic limitations, in my opinion, are what is going to make it hard to win in the NFL. Like, I think he's better against zone than he's going to be against man coverage. And so if you man up on him, I don't think he's going to be able to uncover. Just doesn't have those kind of athletic gifts. Aiden Fisher, another kind of athletically limited player from Indiana. Great, great football character. He is a player who is exactly what you want to be. I said team leader with mindset that was emblematic of Indiana football, came over from James Madison and was an extension. The defensive coordinator even said, this guy is an extension of me on the field every single time. Like, when he's out on the field, he's basically me. And that's the kind of coach on the field, green dot linebacker that you're getting with him. The issue for him is quickness and athletic ability. He can read the play design and gets to the action at a pretty high rate. But I think the inability to get sideline to sideline, I think the lack of speed and burst and suddenness and also his, you know, coverage talent when teams throw against him is really going to make it a little bit harder for him to make the team. Wade Woodhouse will make it as a linebacker. I think Aiden Fisher is going to have a tough time making it. He's a seventh-round pick, so, I mean, whatever. Yeah. It's, you know, it is what it is. So that's all theirs. I got to get a list. Let me take a list of their undrafted free agents, and I'll tell you if anyone pops up.
Well, what about Whittington, the running back from Oregon?
Oh, yeah. So they got Noah Whittington?
Yeah. There was a run that he made against Minnesota that was unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's one of the guys that I saw that they picked up. And if you see this run against Minnesota, he just won't quit. And he scored a touchdown on it. There were 10 guys that had a chance to tackle him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had a draft. I think I had a late draftable on him. Yeah, I had borderline kind of had a 7 PFA on him. No, I had a 6th, 7th. I thought he might go in a 6th or 7th. He's a 6-year senior, 3 seasons of steady play and production, downhill runner who plays behind his pads and takes care of the football. He lacks speed to widen the field and fluidity to create for himself when there is no clear point of entry. He's tough and relatively decisive with a knack for falling forward and adding yards through physicality. His age and lack of third down value might work against him in pursuit of a roster spot. Yeah. So, basically, if you're going to be a third or fourth back, you're going to have to either – it's really tough because they typically want you to have some third down value or some special teams value. So he may have to prove that he can, you know, can cover a little bit on – and he's five – cover on special teams. He's only 5'8", 205, or he's just going to have to really be good as a short yardage back. So that one's – that's going to be a little tough. It'll be a little tough for him to for him to make the team just because he doesn't have that third down value. Looking through these, James Neal's, a lot of guys I don't know. The kid from wide receiver from Illinois State's interesting. Daniel Sabakowicz, he was super, super productive. They got a good punter, Jake Stonehouse. Wow. See, I thought Stonehouse would get drafted. So they got Jake Stonehouse, which he has a real chance, I think, to compete for a spot with the Texans. And it may not excite a lot of you, but I think they need to shoot for having the best punter possible, and that's and Stonehouse has a shot there. I don't see a huge list for the Texans. Are they kind of a smaller list of players?
I'm looking at. I don't see. Yeah.
I only saw like six or seven. You know, these guys are starting to get expensive. Certain undrafted free agents. If you want to get the best ones,
Whittington, Walt Hall, Colin.
Oh,
Wright.
They got Walt Hall from Incarnate Word.
Sebastian Harsh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Daniel Sabkowicz.
Sabkowicz.
Stephen Hall, the center out of Missouri. James Neal III, and Trayvon.
Oh, the center out of Missouri is not bad. He's okay.
Trayvon Saunders, the wide receiver from Colgate.
Yeah, I don't know Trayvon Saunders.
Jack Stonehouse, the punter from Syracuse. Noah Whittington.
I wrote fewer players this year than I have in the past, but so I don't know. There's a lot of these guys I don't know. Jalen Walthall, I know. Jack Stonehouse, obviously, I know. I don't know the Missouri corner. I do know Noah Whittington. They obviously didn't put a lot into undrafted frees. They got a lot of money already tied up with that roster.
Yep.
Sorry, Will Anderson just got y'all's money.
That's all.
Undrafted free agents.
8:34, we're going to break. 713-780-3776. We went through the Texans. You guys got questions on it or anybody else? Lance is here for you at 713-780-3776.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Nick Caserio, three more trades, 28 trades in 6 years.
Wow.
28 trades, draft trades in 6 years.
Yeah, he's not afraid to...
He ain't afraid to move around.
He ain't afraid to move up and down, that's for sure.
Nice to move around. That's for sure. Yeah. John wants to get in here and talk about the draft. Hey, John.
Yeah, two Aggie questions. I'm afraid that Casey Concepcion is going to go to Cleveland and just disappear. They drafted Boston right after him, and they got Shador as a quarterback. I wanted to know your opinion on that, Lance. And also, Le'Veon Moss, did you think he was going to go undrafted, or did you think he should have been drafted?
I would have. Well, so it's a bad running back draft, so people basically just punted on running backs. I think Le'Veon Bell's underrated. I really relied more on his 2024 tape than last year when he was hurt. So I actually think Le'Veon Bell is going to make a team.
Moss.
And I mean, I'm sorry, Le'Veon
Bell.
Bell
is accusing Adam Gase of
coke. Yeah, he's the one who's like, he's on that white girl.
Yeah,
he basically just coke. Literally said he saw him snorting coke.
Before practice.
Multiple times. So one of two things can happen. Either Adam Gase can defend himself and have a lawsuit, which will then turn into discovery and will then turn into, you know, people being, not subpoena, what's the word, where you have the interview? Oh.
Deposition?
Deposition. So he'll have to be deposed, or he's just going to say, I wish he wouldn't have said that, but I'm messing with this, which is, I think, what's going to happen. But, yeah, Le'Veon Moss from Texas A&M, physical runner. I think he's the type of runner that can make – he's got good size. I think he can make an NFL team. I think he's better than – did I expect him to get drafted? I thought – I was kind of on the fence about it. Like, I gave him a draftable grade. I projected him to get drafted, I think, sixth round, I believe. But with this being a weak running back draft, they just kind of – they just punted – I mean – there was only two running backs that even went in the first 2 days. In the first three rounds, in the first 100 picks, only two running backs went. That's it. Only two running backs. And then, you know, of course, Carson Beck I knew would get drafted in the third round. But Drew Aller in the third from Pittsburgh, you know, there they are betting on. That's a backup round, the third round. But it's backup with a chance to, you know, maybe a chance to eventually compete maybe for a starting job. So there was only four quarterbacks drafted and two running backs drafted. It's like the lowest number in history, I think, for the top 100. KC Concepcion with those, you know, quarterback running back combination. KC Concepcion from A&M. Yeah, anytime you go to the Browns, you have to be a little bit concerned. Shadur is going to fight for a job with Deshaun Watson. Neither one of those guys may not matter next year because there's a decent chance they'll be looking for a new quarterback next year. We'll see what Shadur does this year. I don't see Deshaun getting a deal after this year, though. So Shadur, maybe he takes a step forward. It could certainly happen in year two. I didn't think Shadur was as bad as everyone acts. He just takes too many sacks. Like, he just takes way too many sacks. So they got Taylen Green, who can get away from sacks, the quarterback from Arkansas who can really run, who looks just like Vince Young. Like, he's almost a Vince Young clone in some ways. Denzel Boston plays outside. KC Concepcion is going to play from the slot. Denzel getting drafted is no big deal. I mean, they could be your two starting wide receivers for years to come. So I wouldn't worry about that for KC Concepcion at all. And I was a big KC Concepcion fan. I was hoping my guy Steve Smith would like him, but Steve thought he was like a second round type player.
Really? Man, it was sad to see Diego Pavia. Did you see the party yet? And undrafted.
No, I didn't. But I could have. I wish the Pavia family would have reached out to me so I could have told them, "Hey, man, y'all better not have a
so,
party."
So you know the prospects, and we've seen it more often now because normally you only see the guy grabbing a hat. Now putting a hat on. Now you see he's got a. You say, "How is he prepared?" Well, they've got a table full of all the hats of the NFL teams. They pick one once they're drafted. I saw an edit of Diego Pavia's draft party. And all the hats, instead of having NFL teams on it, had Taco Bell, McDonald's, Wendy's.
Oh, no.
It was not
funny.
No. Well, it's funny, but it's not nice.
That's nothing. That's not funny. I mean, like that.
You couldn't even put on, like, you know, some business. I don't know. Put on, like, Hewlett-Packard. It was just all fast food places. They couldn't even throw on, like, an actual... I don't know, where you might go after you graduate when football isn't your option. Hey, he's going to go work in fast food after a degree from Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt can't be happy about that. No. Like, wait a minute.
Well,
that's what you get out of coming to Vanderbilt? You immediately go to working at Taco Bell? That's a job for...
Did all of his grades transfer?
Yeah, I don't know how the JC, New Mexico State, Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt is a higher level institution.
Yeah, it is. They don't.
They don't
own Taco Bell.
They don't normally promote their graduates as going like Taco Bell. You work your way through college. You work your way until you get to a point where you don't have to work there anymore. You don't normally have Vanderbilt grads winding up at Taco Bell.
Nope. Hey, I want you to wind up in our golf tournament. It's Wednesday, and you still got time today to sign up. Go to ESPN975.com. You can get a discount too. Just put in the discount. I don't know. And play with us on Wednesday. It's going to be fun. We're going to be at Sterling Bank. We got Brown Bag Deli. We got Valencia's. We got Coors Lights. It's always a fun time had by all. And Kids Meals is the beneficiary. So if you can get away, get you an individual or a team sign up. If you're an individual, fine. Come. We'll find a place for you there. Or if you've got a team, come on. Let's go. ESPN975.com. We want to fill that thing up, and we want to make sure that the kids' meals get as much as they possibly can. So let's go. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us. If you got anything you want to talk about draft-wise, we haven't even mentioned the Astros. We'll get to that on the other side. But right now we've got Ownwell. We're talking about Ownwell. We're talking about your taxes. My taxes, I did it for years, and I did it myself, and it was a mistake. I wish I had Ownwell at the time. I wish I knew about Ownwell at the time. And you know what? You do know about Ownwell because we've been talking about this for a while. May 15th is coming up. It is not far away. And you think, well, I got time. I used to do that, throw it in the drawer and just leave it in there. And then by the time it came, oh my gosh, I gotta do this. Do it now. Just go to Ownwell.com. Sign up in 3 minutes. It's so fast. It's so easy. The numbers are ridiculous. How much better Ownwell is than the competition. How much better Ownwell is than the government. How many times they win. In Montgomery County, houses 250,000 to 500,000 range, the Ownwell achieved a 94% success rate. versus the market's 81% success rate. That's how good Ownwell is, okay? They doubled their money in Brazoria County on houses $500,000 to $750,000 range, more than two times what they saved by using other firms. I mean, it's one after another. Harris County delivered net saving 21 to 51% higher than the competitors. It is time and time again. And not only that, but you got to look at how much the percentage that each of these companies is charging. You'll love the way Ownwell is doing it. Don't wait. The deadline to protest May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at Ownwell.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see James Gladstone's? I'm going to send it to you, John. The general manager of the Jaguars, his explanation on drafting Borkature at 56.
What about him?
I mean, it's you want to talk about word salad? Holy crap. He's going viral. Borkature was a reach, right?
Who, James Gladstone?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a different cat now.
Yeah.
James is different.
I mean, and did you see the two teenagers that are the assistants for the Rams?
No. What kind of assistants? You know the Rams have the Rams, Jaguars, and Lions have like a – it's a, they have scouting reports. It's basically like a tweet. Like you can only have 20 words. I think it's 16-word scouting report. James Gladstone told Alec that when we were at the O-line Masterminds. I met James Gladstone, and Alec got a chance to meet him, and he talked about the fact that it came from the Rams building. They do 16-word scouting reports. That is insane. And Gladstone told me, he goes, it's basically a tweet. Just use words. Just don't – we don't need long. Just say, you know – elusive, explosive, and so it started with Les Snead and Sean McVay, and then Brad Holmes brought it over to the Lions, and now James Gladstone, who came from the Rams, he brought it over to Jacksonville. So, yeah. So the idea that the Rams have. So tell me about these young. What's the deal with this? These young.
They
assistants?
Look. Like, I mean, they're being. They've gone viral. It's John McKay, and I don't know who the girl. She's the female is in charge of. I don't know what she's in charge of, but they're all like.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
Teenagers are running the Rams front office.
Oh, they just look young?
Oh, my God. Honestly, they look like they're in high school, both of them.
You might as well lean into it. They hire the young. What? Wasn't Sean McVay the youngest head coach ever?
Yeah.
And that has worked out. So, hey, they're not afraid of hiring youth.
And McVay, McKay is obviously a football name. I wonder if he's in like a great grandson of John McKay.
Could very well be. That's how the NFL works.
Yep, that is. That is how the NFL works. Anyway, so that was kind of it's like, oh my gosh, they really are hiring young. I mean, they just don't care about how old you are.
So he's been there for 10 years, but he just recently became their assistant GM.
He's been there 10 years? He started in seventh grade?
Possibly. I don't know when they decided to bring him on. I don't know how child labor laws work with the Rams.
Right.
But, yeah, he was a seasonal intern in the NFL multiple times. He's out of USC. Another McKay, point because the coach was that. Wasn't John McKay the coach of USC at one point?
Uh-huh.
So there's another. Yeah, he probably is one of those McKays, considering all the connections. And now he's been with the Rams since 2016 as a scouting assistant. He's worked his way up. So there's some hard work there, and possibly some nepotism.
Possibly
because of the football name. Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. The woman in question, Nicole Blake, looks like someone I saw at Warped Tour. Like 15 years ago. She looks like she'd be.
Hold on.
She looks
Google
like she'd be
this.
In the front row.
Okay, I'm
going
to.
Warped Tour. I have to
look
Google
at her.
This now.
She looks, I mean, she's not completely in Warped Tour attire, but if you looked at her,
holy crap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm looking at this picture.
I mean, McKay's got some, you know, maybe some thinning, so you could tell there's some age there, but.
But she's young.
But Nicole Blake?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she looked like some woman who was at, or at that point, a girl who was at a show I was at, like, in 2012.
Vans Tour?
Yes, Vans Warped Tour. But
the
instead,
Vans Warped Tour, yeah.
She looks like that. But hey, I don't know. Maybe she's like 27,
Multiple
28.
Multiple fans have posted teenagers holding a press conference for the Rams. She does. She looks like, honestly, she's in college at best.
She looks like she should be out there doing a podcast.
And she's the director of scouting.
Called director? Daddy or whatever.
She's the director of scouting.
How old is Nicole Blake? Now I got a mission.
What do you think about, Lance, that the Texans ranking the most reaches, San Francisco 1, the Rams 2, and the Texans 3rd most reaches? Did you feel like they reached that much?
Yeah, I did. Not in the first pick, not the second pick. I didn't think Kamari Ramsey was a reach at all. Wade Woodhouse was not a reach, so not well, then, no, then, actually then no. Reach. Based on where I thought they would go, yeah. Based on where I thought they would go, actually they weren't reach. I don't love the players personally. Some of them I like a lot, and some of them are okay. Like Woodhouse, he's okay. Kamari Ramsey, that's pretty good value where they got him. I like the first two. So yeah, you're right, because my reaches are where my round projections are based on league intel I got. Now Aiden Fisher. And that's not even a reach in a seventh. You know, now that I think about it, Lewis Bond, I didn't think would get drafted. But Aiden Fisher, I had a seventh-round projection on. That's where he went. So, no, I guess now that – now, Marlon Klein was a reach for me, but all the tight ends in a second were. That was clearly a league thing where they said, we got to get tight ends, and if there's going to be a run, then we're going to – you know, this isn't a deep draft, so we have no problems pushing our tight end grades up.
The thing about this list. Okay, so it's based draft capital over expectation, expected capital to be used on player versus actual use. Here's the best.
Not gonna like this article.
The least reached team was Washington, and then it was Carolina, and then the Colts, the Bengals, the Jets, the Giants. It's all teams that actually drafted high.
So, yeah,
they drafted high, and their expectations for the players were high.
Yeah. So, and what is that based on? So, it's based on a quote unquote consensus board.
Yeah.
And there's a huge argument. I don't know if you caught any of it yesterday about consensus boards. And consensus boards are built out of draft media, draft Twitter. I'm part of draft media. My stuff is heavily used for consensus because I write over 400 players and I have round projections that I give on all of those. Dane Brugler does that. Daniel Jeremiah does it up to 100, does his top 150, and there are other sites that will do it too. And so there are some people who gather all of us together and create, you know, what would be considered a consensus board, which I think is pretty cool, right? You know, you get an idea. The general fan can get an idea of what the expectations are. If you get some quality output, then you kind of come to a consensus of, okay, this is where the general expectation of these players, you know, to go. So I think it's cool. Now, the big problem with this argument that the league is certain teams are straying from the consensus board is, and some people really have a hard time with this, and I think there are some people fighting on Twitter because they don't want to feel like they need to be more important than they are. Listen, teams don't care what I think. Most of them don't. They may care what I think about where a player is going to go, because. And I did have somebody reach out about some specific players, like what rounds, because they're trying to figure out the consensus. Maybe helps them figure out where other teams, like where players are going to go. That's the value of a consensus board, as it pertains to when you want to draft certain guys, or do you need to trade up, or things like that. But as it pertains to how you value a team, my board. My players, I'm writing up players with 32 teams in mind, with every scheme in mind. I don't have all the injury information. I don't have all the medical, I don't have all the character. I don't have all the football character. We don't have, most of us don't have all that insight. So that will shape and alter the way teams will see certain players. They also will they might like a certain type of player, but if he doesn't fit their scheme, you know, where if they run a lot of zone scheme, they want to get players on the move, and you got a big oafish offensive lineman, that guy won't even be on the board. If you got a real, you know, heavy 340, 335 pound nose who can't move, you know, but he eats up he eats up blocks, that's going to appeal to certain teams, and that same player won't be on the board for other teams. Undersized defensive undersized ends, some teams are going to have physical standards that they don't back off of. So R. Mason Thomas from Oklahoma at 241 pounds may not have even been on team's board because he's more of a designated pass rusher, and he's not may not end up being a three down edge. So these consensus boards, they don't take into effect that a lot of these teams, their boards are only like, they may only have a grand total of, I heard the Patriots used to have like 80 players on the board, something crazy. So, like the consensus, this argument that the NFL teams are strained from consensus, A, they have information and intel we don't have, and then B, their boards they're built way differently. Like, if I write a player up, I'm just assuming that somebody will draft him that he fits, like he fits into what they do. So I don't have to worry about it. With teams, you automatically,
John. Listen to John Lynch ask the question.
Oh, well, this is where he got pissed off.
Yeah, he was asked a question about why they reach so much.
Yeah.
John, your draft board seems to deviate quite a bit from the consensus. Why are you confident with that, given your track record drafting the last few years? It seems like it leads to you making reaches.
Well, I appreciate that you think that. Depends whose consensus. We got consensus in this building. That's the that's the consensus I care about.
I think that was one of the coolest things with this draft, you know, just so you don't reach on somebody. Like, if there's somebody you know you're going to take at that spot, and your consensus or all your homework around the league, not necessarily like Twitter or media stuff, just like things you investigate on when people are going to go. And if you know you're going to take someone you think's the best player, and but you don't think they're going to go until like 15 picks later, 20 picks later, it's always a huge risk because you never find out when they're going to go if you take them there. The times that we did feel that way, like at 27, like at 30, and you're able to move back and create stuff later. I forget what it was, but we got a six-round pick for next year, and we don't have a six-round pick for next year. And we were able to still get our guy. I forget what we moved back to, whatever that was. But the guy we would have taken, we got 15 picks later, and you pick up a six for next year where we had a hole. Or the guy we would have taken at 7, you moved to 30, and to move to 33. And so all that stuff was really cool to get the guys that you want, but also find a way to get eight players when you only had six bullets, and also gain a draft pick for next year, which sometimes you trade before the trade deadline, like I think we have in the last couple of years. So it was just, and to get these guys that we had, it was really neat.
Okay, that was a lot of stuff that Kyle Shanahan was saying there. A lot of stuff. I liked John Lynch's answer better. I liked his answer better. the only consensus I care about is this building. We got a break. We are behind. 713-780-3776. We got less than an hour left, so anything you want to get in and talk about? Oh, we forgot to talk about the Astros, didn't we?
Yeah. I think we got to get back to the Rockets.
Everybody's forgetting to talk about the Astros.
I don't know if forgot is the word I use.
We've avoided it until now.
Yeah, I mentioned the Rockets. We got to get back on the Rockets
a little
bit, too.
The word is avoided.
Avoided.
We didn't forget.
Yeah.
What do you want? Look, you know,
in our avoidance.
Once that LeBron shot went in, the rest of the series is just an epilogue.
Yeah.
Like the story is over.
Yeah, no. Can you imagine if they had won that game, they'd be sitting there 2-2 and we'd be like, "See, now you got to do is win two of the next three. You're just going to have to win one in LA. Yeah. That's all you got to do."
Yep. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776.